Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good morning and good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for the Dr. Reddy's earnings conference call for the quarter ended June 30, 2021. Earlier during the day, we have released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. This call is being recorded, and the playback and transcript shall be made available on our website soon. All the discussions and analysis of this call will be based on the IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's comprising Mr. Hiren Israeli, our CEO, Mr. Parag Agarwal, our CFO, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is a copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlet without the company's expressed written consent. Before I proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor contained in today's press release also pertains to this conference call. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Parag Agarwal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit, and greetings to everyone. I hope you and your families are keeping safe and well. I'm pleased to take you through our results for the quarter one of fiscal 2022. It is yet another quarter of double-digit growth in sales. However, profits were impacted due to higher price erosion in U.S. and increase in investment towards brand promotions, R&D, and digitalization. We believe these investments are critical for the sustainable long-term growth of the company. Let me take you through the key financial highlights for the quarter in a bit more detail. For this section, all the amounts are translated into U.S. dollar at a convenience translation rate of 74.33 rupees, which is the rate as of June 30, 2021. Consolidated revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 4,919 crores, that is $662 million, and grew by 11% on year-on-year basis and by 4% on a sequential quarter basis. The growth is mainly driven by new product launches, including COVID products, higher base business volumes, full quarter impact of portfolio acquired from Wockhardt in Q1 FY21, and was partly offset with price erosion in some of our products, mainly in U.S. and Europe. Consolidated gross profit margin for this quarter has been 52.2%, a reduction of 380 basis points year-on-year and 150 basis points quarter-on-quarter. Q1 FY21 gross margins were high due to higher export benefit and favorable product mix. The gross margins in current quarter were impacted due to higher price erosion, primarily in U.S., and increase in inventory provisions for a few products. Gross margin for the global generics and PHAI were at 57.7% and 21.6% respectively for the quarter. The SG&A spend for the quarter is rupees 1,505 crores, that is $202 million, an increase of 18% year-on-year and of 5% quarter-on-quarter. The increase was on account of investments in brands in India and emerging markets, investments in digitalization, and annual increments. The year-on-year increase is also due to full quarter impact of the incremental expenses after the integration of Wockhardt acquired portfolio. The R&D spend for the quarter is rupees 453 crores, that is $61 million, and is at 9.2% of sales. R&D spend increased by 14% year-on-year and 11% quarter-on-quarter, and is in line with the increase in development pipeline in our biosimilars and generics business, including development of COVID-related molecules. The EBITDA for the quarter is rupees 1,019 crores, that is $137 million, and the EBITDA margin is 20.7%. The EBITDA margin was impacted due to lower gross margin and higher investments in sales and marketing and R&D. We are confident that EBITDA margin would improve in the coming quarters. Consequently, our profit before tax stood at rupees 743 crores, that is $100 million, which is a decline of 16% year-on-year and an increase of 21% quarter-on-quarter. In June 2021, we received the final arbitration award pertaining to Zeglyze product in favor of Hashtag for $46.25 million. This led to an incremental charge of $26.25 million for us, which was adjusted in our IFRS financial statements for Q4 and for the full year for FY21 filed in Form 20F as a subsequent adjusting event. Effective tax rate for the quarter has been at 23.1%. We expect our normal ETR to be in the range of 25 to 26%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at rupees 571 crores, that is $77 million. Reported EPS for the quarter is rupees 34.34. Operating working capital increased by 1,189 crores, which is $160 million. Against that, on March 31st, 2021, mainly driven by increase in inventory and receivables. Increase in receivables was primarily on account of a planned discontinuance of receivable discounting program in the US. Our capital investment during the quarter stood at rupees 320 crores, which is $43 million. The free cash flow generated during this quarter was a net outflow of rupees 683 crores, which is $92 million, mainly due to increase in operating working capital. Consequently, we now have a net surplus cash of rupees 45 crores, that is $6 million, as on June 30, 2021. Foreign currency cash flow hedges in the form of derivatives for the US dollar are approximately $555 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 74.7 to rupees 77.9 to the dollar, ruble 77.25 million at the rate of rupees 0.9921 to the ruble, Australian dollar 7 million at the rate of rupees 58.06 to Australian dollar, and South African rand 110 million at the rate of rupees 4.96 to South African rand, maturing in the next 12 months. With this, I now request Erez to take through the key business highlights.
Good morning and good evening to everyone. I hope you and your loved one are keeping safe and healthy in these testing times. While many of our key markets and businesses, including India, were severely hit by the second wave of COVID during this quarter, I am pleased that we have continued to deliver of our purpose of good health cannot wait by ensuring the continuity of our operations and serving our patients with the relentless efforts of our employees and business partners. We continue to make good progress on our strategy execution by enhancing our development pipelines of both small molecules and biosimilars, continuing with our new products launch momentum, gaining market share in key products, making inroads into newer sets of markets in Europe, driving productivity and accelerating our innovation agenda. Today, we have successfully managed to expand our business model beyond the pill through digital innovation and through demonstration that is the launch of SWAST, an app-based integrated OPD service delivery platform in India. This will provide simple and high-quality healthcare by addressing patient needs for doctors, pharmacy, laboratories, and insurance, all under one roof. This is an unusual quarter for us as we face price erosion pressure in the U.S., as well as decline in API sales, while the growth in both is expected in the next coming quarter, supported by scale-up in the recent launches, continued new product launch momentum, and a gain of market share. Now, let me take you through the key business highlights of our business. Please note that all the reference to the numbers in these sections are in respective local currencies. Our North America generic business recorded sales of $235 million for the quarter, with a year-over-year growth of 2% and sequential quarter decline of 1%. We launched four products in the U.S., including icosapent ethyl capsules, a ratapentin injection, a sapropet between 100 milligrams sachet, and albendazole tablets, and relaunched famotidine tablets. We also launched two products in Canada in this period. This quarter witnessed normalized and progressive tender for retail GX and OTC business due to low COVID infection rates in the U.S. This and market share gain in our existing products and contribution from new products, which was offset by relatively high price erosion due to an increased intensity of competition in certain base products and continued impact of lower number of elective procedures for health system business. Our Europe business recorded sales of 45 million euros with a year-over-year growth of 6%, driven largely by new product launches. The sales were flat on a sequential quarter basis. During the quarter, we launched four new products in Germany and two products in the UK. We have expanded our presence to four new countries in Europe, namely Netherlands, Portugal, Slovakia, and Czech Republic, with the launches of acetylcysteine for injection in these markets. We believe that Europe will continue to be a good growth driver for us in the next few years with the dual strategy of portfolio and market expansion. Our emerging market business recorded sales of 903 rupees crores with the year-over-year growth of 14% in sequential quarter growth of 3%. Within the EM market, the Russia business grew by 14% on a year-to-year basis and declined by 13% on a quarter-to-quarter basis in constant currency. Our business in many other focus markets like Brazil and China performed well. During the quarter, we launched 13 new products across various markets. Our India business recorded sales of 1,060 rupees crores with a strong year-over-year growth of 69% and sequential growth of 26%. This strong growth was supported by both COVID portfolio as well as good performance of the base business. Year-to-year growth was also positively benefited to low base effect of Q1 last fiscal. During the quarter, we launched 16 products in the Indian market, including Sputnik V vaccine, COVID treatment drug of 2DG, a nutrition product, Cure Health, as per IQVIA report of June 2021, we have growth by 19.4% on MAT basis, faster than the market growth of 14.5%. On Sputnik V, the commercial scale-up is in progress. We are working with RDIF for ramping up supply. We are also working closely with six CMOs in India for manufacturing readiness. We have been able to create a robust go-to-market infrastructure to supply the product in a seamless manner to patients and healthcare system across 80 cities and towns and across India. We are also working on a single-dose vaccine Sputnik Light. As per the recommendation from SEC, we would leverage Russia phase 3 trial for approval in India. Our PCI business recorded sales of 102 million with a year-over-year decline of 10% and sequential quarter decline of 6%. This was largely due to higher sales space for business during same quarter in last year owing to stocking activity of our customers as a response to mitigate the COVID-related potential disruptions. Considering the nature of this business, we expect some fluctuations in quarter-on-quarter sales due to lumpings in orders. On the R&D front, we continue to strengthen our pipeline of products with additional sets of biosimilar introduced into our development pipeline while we continue to make progress in the phase 3 clinical trials of rituximab. We have also strengthened our small molecules pipeline for all of our markets and improving our execution with disproportional focused approach for value and assertive assets. During the quarter, we filed 30 drug master files globally, including two files made in the U.S. We have also filed 17 formulation products across global markets, including two ANDAs in the United States. As of June 30, 2021, we have 93 cumulative filings pending for approval with the U.S. FDA, which includes 90 ANDAs and 3 505(b)(2) NDAs. In our proprietary product business, we continue to progress well with the pivotal registration trial for ECO 7 for CTCL indication. During the quarter, we out-licensed the development commercialization rights of DFD-29 program that is monocycline modified release capsule 40 milligrams. Additionally, efforts are underway to globally monetize key approved on-market and non-market assets. While we are cautious of continuing uncertain business environment, owing to the global pandemic and increasing competitive intensity in sales and segment, we remain committed to our strategy and believe that there are several levers ahead of us to deliver healthy and profitable growth on a sustainable basis over the coming quarters and in the future. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Forum Parekh from Choice Institutional Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes,
ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah. So just wanted to know on the outlook of the North America business with this intense price erosion, price competition. So how do you look at it? And second, I wanted to know, like, going forward, what would be the drivers for EBITDA margin?
Yes, so this quarter was a bit unusual for us, as what we call the we got the downside of the U.S. as some products we faced the price erosion, primarily defending our share, while the big launches are coming up timely-wise later. For example, Icosapent, which is a very important launch, which we launched, came in the last few days of the quarter. And naturally, for products like that, we will see realizations of its potential in the quarters to come, as well as other products. So I think, first of all, timing-wise, it was a bit unusual for us. So we are expecting the North America to grow this year, and as well as to come to the famous numbers that I'm always saying. So we are very still committed to our 25-25 EBITDA ROC, as always, also in the quarters to come. And in this respect, it's a bit different. On the EBITDA specifically, this quarter it was a combination of the U.S. as well as less API that normally when you have less API is impacting the EBITDA. And this is also fluctuating from a quarter to quarter because of the order book, as well as COVID and other activities like that. I'm not concerned on that on the long-term basis.
Okay, and can you just throw some color on the North America side on the price erosion? How do you see it?
It's something very similar to what used to be in the years ago when you're launching a product, especially products that we launched recently. Recently means that in the last 12 months, then a competitor is coming and you need to defend your share. And it leads to a price erosion. So it's not unusual situation, and naturally this will continue to be also in the future. So I cannot say something that is unusual for us in North America. It's the normal business model in this country.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue later.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just on the aspect related to subpoena issued by the U.S., just would like to understand in terms of the number of healthcare professionals involved as per the complaint by the anonymous person.
So, first of all, it's not a new thing. We reported on it in November of last year. And as we are traded in the U.S., we need to submit this information and to the relevant agencies, and that's what we did, and this is as per the process. This still under investigation, like it's done, and those investigations normally takes their time, so I don't envision immediate action in this respect. Once the investigation will come, we will share it with the authorities and address the relevant processes.
Okay. And secondly, just on this PACI gross margin, while the sales would have been impacted because of the inventory buildup for the previous quarters, but how to look at the gross margin for this business going forward?
So the gross margin in API, because of the nature of it, a relatively high level of fixed cost, when you have less sales, it normally you see it also in the margins themselves. So once the sales will go up, also the margins will go up. I don't see any specific issue. We did have some price decrease in some molecules. So on those molecules, we will see less profitability. But on the other hand, we are going to launch others. So overall, I believe very much in this business. While it will continue to fluctuate, we will have good quarter and less good quarter. It very much depends on the procurement patterns of the customers.
All right, so that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC Securities and Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on Russia and CIS business. So if I understand correctly, fourth quarter is the lowest seasonal quarter for us. But despite that, we saw notable sequential decline in both Russia and CIS. So can you talk a little bit more there? Like, what are the regions due to which we are facing sales decline? And is it something specific to Dr. Reddy's, or it's something market-wide phenomena which is impacting sales in Russia and CIS?
We are growing in this area and we continue to grow specifically in Russia. There is a timing of the tenders and the bids on biosimilars, so those normally are coming in a specific quarters and according to the buying patterns of the government in Russia. So that's why, for example, if we have most of those sales of this kind of products in a certain quarters, we will see sequential decline. But this is more of a timely, a timing issue of the tenders of these products, while actually we are growing on both the retail as well as the government business, meaning the hospital business in Russia.
Okay, so how should we expect growth for this part of the business in a normalized way?
We should see growth in like we happened last year. In general, the emerging markets will continue to grow in the normal type you used to see. Not necessarily every quarter, but we'll have trends also in the future.
Okay, that's helpful. And my second question is on Sputnik rollout in India. So depending on the clarification which you might have got from the CMOs, by end of FY22, like how many doses you are confident about distributing in India? Or how do you see the rollout of COVID vaccines in next, say, 12 to 15 months?
We will have somewhere between September and October, November, we will see the products coming out of India. We see it for Sputnik V, and we hope also that we will be able to like. And if this will happen by 2022, we should have sufficient quantities for the Indian market. In that respect, of course, this is also depends on the what will happen in India in terms of vaccinations by other, etc. But we should have a sufficient supply once this will be up.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your answers. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. You mentioned about PSAI. I mean, the voice was not clear, but trying to understand, we had stabilized this business and seen a 30% plus gross margins for at least last year. And then again, we saw this volatility coming for this quarter. So how do you see, I mean, I understand you mentioned about why this quarter was affected, decrease in sales volume and pricing. But do you think it's a one-off, and how do you see the rest of the year and year after, given that there's a heavy investment in the DMF and you spoke about last quarter on the CRO that you are starting Origin. So what is the update there and what is the outlook, sir?
Yes, so the outlook is positive. We believe in this business. It's going to grow. There is indeed in the last few quarters fluctuation. There were quarters in which people took more and the quarters that people took less. In the last two quarters, they are taking less. I agree with that. The product, especially the future portfolio, looks very promising. Specifically, I think what happens to us in this quarter is that some key products, we missed a certain, let's say, pattern orders because of sequence, and part of it was pricing as well. So I see that more of a short-term issue rather than long-term issue. On the scale-up of the CDMO and stuff, we are very much on track, and I'm very much believe in this business. Right now, it's relatively small. Growing, but small in terms of impact on the entire company. So most of the activities of the API are rather from, let's say, the generic API activity and the impacted by the patterns of those procurement.
Lukas, you are there?
Is it okay?
Hello? Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. I asked that, do you think this is a one-time blip and you back to normalcy from Q2 onwards, or you will take time to come to normalcy?
I don't think it's a one-time per se. As some of these products that the price went down, it will naturally continue. But per se, this we are going to see a growth in the API for sure for the year, but it will may fluctuate also during FY22 from quarter to quarter. So I cannot say that it's a one time, but the direction is positive. It is going to go.
Perfect, great. And second question, sir, on the EBITDA bridge. So last year we were at healthy EBITDA margin of 24-25%. And we started this quarter with soft US business, soft PSA business, which resulted in drop in gross margins and EBITDA margins. So how do you think, by when would you be able to come back to your 24-25% mark? I mean, would it take a couple of quarters, or it will take, next year to...
No, it will come fast. And we cannot give guidance, but let's say... From next quarter, you're supposed to see something similar to what you used to see from Dr. Edith before.
Yeah. I'm not looking for guidance. So I just wanted the drivers which will lead to that. So one is clearly the VESEPA launch, which will help.
One
of the other big drivers.
Yeah, more than fair. The drivers will be first the realizations of the full value of the products that will be launched in the U.S. This is missing in this quarter. The second is that I scale up of some of our API activities. Third, you are going to see more growth and more impact of some of our, if you wish, more top line in the company as a realization of higher growth in general. in EM and as well as in India. Last but not least, this was a quarter in which we have some, it was not significant, but some items that were impacted, whether it's COVID-related. It was a quarter in which 2 months out of the three, we were under wave two in India, and had to deal with the logistics of it, as well as certain co-pays. All of these are supposed to help, and I'm very confident that you'll see the margins that we have discussed. My key KPIs that I'm always raising in the meeting for long term, the 25-25, is still valid for Dr. Reddy's.
Okay, sir. Great, and thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sriram Rathi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So firstly on, Supreme has issued by the SEC. Just wanted to understand what is company stand on that in terms of what they are thinking. And secondly, what could be the worst outcome of that in terms of, what kind of impact it can have if something goes negatively against us?
Can you repeat the question? The line is not clear.
Sorry about that.
I'll just repeat. So my question is regarding the subpoena issued by SEC. So what is company stand on that in terms of what are our thoughts? And at the same time, what could be the worst outcome if something negative happens in terms of outcome?
So normally when you have a complaint in a market, you need to submit this information as per the guidance to the agency in the U.S. as we are traded in the U.S., and this is what we did this time as well. The processes that we are going through are investigations, are self-investigations by a kind of outside the counsel firm that is investigating and give the outcome of this investigation. You are submitting it, and then you are discussing it with the relevant authorities. The potential outcome can be nothing, or can be certain things that the company needs to do. At this stage, I think it's too early to assess. I don't envision any immediate action or any immediate activity that we need to do. The process is going to take probably for the foreseen time, maybe a year, maybe more, I don't know.
Okay, got it. And secondly, one question on the gross margins. I think in the initial comments it was mentioned that there was some inventory adjustment also. Is it possible to share how much that impact would have been?
The inventory hit, Sriram, I don't think we can share the numbers, but, there is some inventory provision that typically happens every quarter. This quarter we saw a little higher because of certain quality issues and slow-moving inventory, which is normal in our industry. We do expect it to normalize in the next couple of quarters.
Okay. So generally, like we used to be in the range of 53-55% gross margin, so that is the fair number to look at for the future quarters also, on an average.
I would not like to give any number. As you know very well, if you look at our data for the last several quarters, our gross margin fluctuates quite a bit. It is clear that in this quarter, our gross margin has been at the lower end of that range. And as you know, that's primarily because of the price erosion that we saw in North America, and also because of a slightly higher inventory provision. Going forward, there are a number of levers that should improve the gross margin. Like it is said, the full impact of some of the recent launches in North America would push it up. As we grow sales, which we have been growing for a while in the branded markets, that will give us better leverage. Also, as the PSAI business improves, that will impact gross margin positively. At the same time, there is a lever that will bring it down slightly, which is the increase in the commodity and solvent prices. So overall, we expect that the levers which are going to put an upside pressure to gross margin or more compared to where we are today. But I don't think I can give a range on gross margin.
But it's fair to say that we will stay in the neighborhood of where we are. If you recall in the previous meetings, if there will be a great business that will come, for example, I know it's hypothetical, but if a $1 billion business will come in 49% and a great EBITDA, we will not say no because of the margin. So what should guide us is naturally the EBITDA. But in terms of expectation, yes, I think it's fair to say that we are working to improve it.
Okay, sure. Got it. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nithya Balasubramaniam from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So question on Sputnik V. So one of the challenges that we have been reading about recently is the scale-up in the second, the challenges with the scale-up in the second vector. And we understand that far fewer doses of the second dose has been imported as well. Is this likely to remain a challenge, or do you have visibility on when this is likely to improve so that you are able to vaccinate more people?
Yeah, so first, this is correct. The main challenge is the supply of the second formula, what we call the Formula 5, and as well as the allocations that come from Russia, as they have their own wave of pandemic and they have their allocations considerations. In our discussions with them, we are supposed to get it in August. I cannot confirm it because there were delays in the past and they might continue in the future. I hope that the real solutions will come when there will be a ramp up out of India, as well as the potential approvals of Sputnik Light. This is the two mitigations that we can have in a case that the challenges of the Formula B will continue.
Got it. So for Sputnik Light, is there any requirement from the DCGI for you to conduct any sort of study in India?
They will accept the trials, the results that will come out of Russia. And maybe once they will review this data, they may ask for more. But at this stage, we are planning to submit the data that will come out of Russia.
Got it. One last one. You mentioned that your SG&A spend in India is now higher because you're pushing some marketing activities, some digital solutions, etc. So is this level now likely to stay? Is this a new normal?
In India and emerging market, yes, but it's also supported well the sales and the profit. So this is a very healthy business. It is growing and it's paying for its investment plus with great return on investment and great EBITDA. So this is likely to go. More than that, this is the main mitigation on those businesses that are not giving us that level of comfort, more fluctuate like the U.S. business. So this is absolutely within the strategy and will continue.
Got it. If I might squeeze one last one in. So if you look at Amarin's commentary on their product, the FIFA, they've been talking about how the product has been able to retain market shares because the out-of-pocket expenses for the patient is actually lower with the brand compared to the generic. Do you see this as a challenge for Dr. Reddy to gain market share in the market?
I cannot comment on those on this stuff. I can tell you that so far we did not see challenge to get market share.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So first question on the US business, if you can provide what proportion of our US business in this quarter was from the new product launches, and what would be our, let's say, target going forward on an annual basis you know, where we are targeting X proportion of the revenue, you know, this should come from the new product launches. That's the first question.
Yes, so first of all, we are not targeting proportions. We are trying to explore the potential of a pipeline, and some products will be very big, then they will have big proportions. For example, this year, it will be more impacted by new products than others, as some of the products that we are launching are bigger than, let's say, what we had last year. There will be years that it will be less. So we are not targeting specifically a percentage as such. The way we are looking at this business, that we look at this business, whether it was the right choice for the shareholders in terms of return on investment, in terms of risk management, etc., and what we are doing with the U.S. portfolios, like I mentioned in many discussions before, is primarily to leverage it across market, to launch it in other countries, Europe, emerging markets, etc., and reach the economy of scale. To address directly your answer, this year the proportion will be higher than other years, but it's not necessarily going to be in the hereafter or et cetera. It very much depends on the compositions of the new product, the market share that will gain, and the potential of those.
Sure, thank you. And the second question is, what's the rationale behind discontinuation of the receivable factoring?
Yes, I can explain that. We had, basically, the rationale is the narrowing of the interest differentials between US and India. As you know, the interest rate used to be much higher in India, and therefore discounting of receivables in the US and being able to take advantage of the arbitrage was a lever that we were using. With the narrowing of the interest rate differential, that arbitrage was no longer making sense, and therefore we have decided to reverse that.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, good evening. Just one question from my side. I just want to understand the SG&A a little better. So sequentially, from March quarter to now, we have seen almost an increase of 100 crore in the SG&A expense. So you guys mentioned three reasons. The personal cost you guys report, so I can see only out of 100 crore, 25% to 30% came from personal cost increase. Of the other two factors, I just wanted to check, in a quarter which was driven by COVID wave impact, which was so strong, starting from April, May, etc., I am not able to understand, even in our some of CIS market, Russia, the impact of COVID was very much there. So in this quarter, when you talk about higher marketing activities resulting in higher SG&A, can you just take me through this balance 70% of the incremental where exactly it came from?
Sure. So, you know, first of all, in this quarter, while we had COVID impact, it was in India, not a lockdown as severe as the last lockdown. And we did have a combination of, in May and June in particular, a combination of physical calls as well as digital calls. That's one. The second is that we are investing behind a number of new brands. For example, Celebida in nutrition space. We have launched in June a brand called Core Health, which builds immunity, and we have got very encouraging response from the consumers initially. So we are investing behind our OTC business. We are also expanding into rural areas where we have seen strong growth. So there are a number of growth drivers which require investment, and we are not shying away from investing in India and Russia. And this is borne out by the growth profile of these businesses. If you see, in this quarter, India has grown at a very strong rate. Even if you discount for the low base in India, even sequentially, we have recorded 26% growth. And similarly in emerging markets. So this investment, we firmly believe, is good cholesterol. And we will continue to invest in good cholesterol.
Okay. That's helpful. And second question was on the Russian vaccine. So effectively, the supplies will only ramp up for us in December onwards, etc. So for the export market, have we progressed further with our contract with RDIF? Any progress over there which has happened?
So we got rights also for the other markets. At this stage, any quantities that will come to India. And right now, this is our priority. And I hope, by the way, that we will get also in August, but we cannot, of course, we do not have the confirmation for that as of yet. Everything that is related to export will be after we will satisfy the need of India. So yes, absolutely, the intent is that if this will ramp up, it will be used also for export. But at this stage, the agreements and activities that we have are confined to India.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the India business. You know, you just talked about, you know, investing in nutrition, OTC, expanding into rural areas, digital. If you could just give some color on when we would start seeing, you know, the benefit of this. And a related question on that, you know, how much do you think we will have to spend to scale up these businesses, particularly something like OTC and nutrition, you know, businesses?
So first, India is already financing its growth. So we are growing in profit in India. I know that we are checking the AGNA line, but in terms of profit, India is financing its growth as well as the emerging markets. The specific investments in a brand, when it's a new brand, you normally see it profitable in the second year. And this is the experience in India, and this is going to be also the case in the new launches that we have. The activities that are related to more geographic spread as well as services, we of course will see the benefit immediately as it is, as we are taking current products and expanding into other areas. That part of the investment is actually paying off nicely, and the ROC as well as the EBITDA in India is above our average, even the average that I'm mentioning in our previous discussion.
And I would also add that in many of these brands, the investment is in digital marketing, which compared to the earlier mass media model is much more efficient and effective, and that leads to a much earlier break-even. Like it is said, you know, typically you would have, it will start paying back from second year itself, a new brand.
And in terms of new launches, do we, you know, just wanted to understand how many brands that we have, you know, do we have in the pipeline for nutrition and OTC? Like you mentioned, new brands would require new investments. So, you know, in that context, what is the planned launch pipeline that we have for these two segments?
So the bigger brands are actually brands that we already launched.
Okay.
And there is an opportunity to scale them up and to create economy of scale. There are certain areas, like Parag said, like in OTC, like in nutraceuticals, in which we are launching new brands in order to enhance our presence in that area. So prevention, wellness, OTC is another part of the of our strategy, as well as our traditional TAs, and now we moved also in that respect to the digital therapy. So more and more we will expand our footprint in India in that respect. And some of it will be new, and some of it will be leverage of things that we did in the past. Overall, the profit of India will grow from year to year. So it's it will pay for those investments that will take them 2 years to materialize.
Understood. And second, on you know, the API supply for our generic Vascepa launch, you know, just wanted to get a sense on, you know, when do you think we will get to our fair market share for the product, and do, you know, Is API any more of a concern in terms of our ability to ramp up this product based on, you know, the supplies from partners?
At this stage, I don't see concern with API.
Okay, and when do we think we can get to a fair market share in your assessment?
I don't know what is fair. You know, fair is a matter of definition. I think that the contract in Q2, you should see a different results that in the contribution of this product as we launched the product in the last few days of the quarter, and naturally Q2, for example, will be the impact of the full quarter.
Understood. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
So yes, on the US market, is it possible to quantify the extent of price erosion that you've seen in the base business? It is in single digit, double digit, you know, sequentially how that has happened, and what's the concentration that we have in the US today in terms of, you know, the top two products, three products, if you can throw some light. And also, you know, some color, I think you mentioned about OTC picking up. So if you can give some color on volumes. So I understand price is lower, but how has volumes shaped up? Have you been able to defend volumes for all our products, or there has been a loss of market share as well?
Yeah. So in terms of let's start with market share. First of all, we are growing market share. So we are growing in general, and our top product is about 35%, if I remember correctly, in the United States, and out of the of that. So it's a kind of this is the Pareto. The Pareto in our case is about 35%. In terms of value of price erosion, we are not sharing this kind of numbers in this kind of meeting. For these products that we need to defend, normally it's a double digit for these two products. But the overall impact on the basket can fluctuate. Depends on the, of course, on the value of this product and how deep it was. In this quarter, the main thing that happened to us, and that's what I said in the beginning, is that we got what you call the sting, but not the honey. We got the impact of the price erosion, but we did not get the impact in the market share stuff, as most of the levers for us to grow will come primarily from starting in Q2. That's why I believe that for them in Q2 will resemble better, let's say, our activity in the United States and moving forward as well.
Okay. Just, I mean, this number you said top five is 30%. Is that right? Can you just confirm that, please?
Yeah, around that.
Around this number. Yeah, give or take.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, you know, if I can ask about Sputnik V, you mentioned, I mean, given that the vaccination pace in India has picked up and we have a contract for 250 million doses, do you think, and given the pricing environment, do you think from a financial perspective, it's a meaningful opportunity?
It can be meaningful. If all the things will be erected, and the reason that I'm saying it can, not because I'm doubt the opportunity is big, it's more the way it will play out in terms of supply out of Russia, ramp up, vaccination programs in India. There are many, many, the COVID waves that hopefully for India will not come another wave to again. I wish it for India as a country. So there are many, many factors in that respect. Plus, we need to remember that the antibodies eventually, for the people that took vaccine, eventually are going down. And we do see the impact in countries that got vaccinations 6 months ago. Now there is a pickup of cases again, even in a certain area. And so what we are doing is we are trying to move multiple dimensions to address scenarios. So, for example, we are working on adolescents with the Sputnik. We are working on Sputnik Light. We are working on other product cases. In our portfolio, there is beyond Sputnik, we have other products. We are working to qualify the Indian operations in the case that we can use them in India. We are working on them in the case that we can do exports in the place that will be. So I don't know exactly how the future will fall, but we are arranging for us enough. Let's say we are kind of ramping up our infrastructure, registrations of products, etc., to allow us to address it when there is a need for it. That's the way we work. So it can be a significant opportunity, but it can be also less than that. This is a kind of unpredictable situation. Especially when it's related to supply and this kind of stuff.
Okay. And finally, if I can ask on R&D, as you mentioned about biosimilars, I just wanted to check, like, is there a very steep increase in R&D spend on biosimilars? And how should we think about, are there any products which are going into a major clinical trial over the next 12 months? Should we expect this to move higher? If you can guide on R&D spend, how should we think about it, particularly with respect to biosimilars and your thought in general, because, you know, there has been limited success in the space. What are your thoughts on increasing spend on this high-risk area?
So we are increasing spend. I cannot call it steep. I can call it an increase of spend. And we are starting trials and is part of our increase in R&D this year of biosimilars. I think overall in trials for this year will be 4 products, including rituximab. We are financing it by increasing of sales of biosimilars, especially in emerging market, and the main market for it is Russia. And the main difference is that this time the other products will be aimed for first to market, unlike the products that we came behind. And there is, I believe, significant opportunities in that, especially in our market. So I continue to, with the strategy of leveraging those countries in this area in which, as part of our hospital strategy, those products are normally hospital products, and they will be sold on this infrastructure standalone, as well as finding partners for markets like the United States, as long as the United States is having its foreign business model. So I do believe in this opportunity. Absolutely an investment at this stage, continue to be an investment at this stage, but limited in nature.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much and good evening, everyone. So the first question is on the digital health tech efforts that we are putting in and the app that you announced having launched today. So just thinking about it, what is, Dr. Reddy's competitive advantage in getting into this venture, your right to win versus, you know, a few others who have launched their, you know, health tech app like Hospital Chain or online companies, e-pharmacy, etc. So just your thoughts and what's your end game over here?
Sure, thank you for that. I see that as a very important development in here. First, it's not an app. It is a service, that we, OPD service that we are giving to people. So people that in this case it's a collaboration. We will get under an insured service their needs under one roof, and meaning that our we are going to provide them the healthcare that they deserve in much better service and much cheaper than they used to get by the current alternatives that they have. The beauty of that is it's an end-to-end platform in which comprise the physicians, the insurer, the pharmacies, the delivery, the information, and everything under one roof. And I think it's the, if you wish, it's outpatients like I used to get when I lived in America. And it's something that doesn't exist in that manner in India, and we are very happy to be and to do that. So it's not a normal app. It is absolutely a service, an outpatient service like exists in other countries and not so much in India.
So fair enough, and thanks for this. But I'm just wondering, you know, what synergy does it have with the, you know, with your traditional core business, and what's your end game? I mean, would you keep it, develop it, or, you know, just your thoughts on this?
We absolutely will continue to develop it. We just launched it. But the way I see the things are evolving in India, it will not be about necessarily going building on those branded generics, but companies we will have to go into a different ownership of the stakeholders, and this is what we are aiming to do here as well.
So our aim is to create an ecosystem, and I think those companies that are the first movers in creating an ecosystem linking all the players in the healthcare will definitely have a competitive advantage.
Okay, excellent, sir. And the second question is just on Vasipa. I know you have answered. I'm looking at 4-week data that is available now on IQVIA, and your market share is under 3% for a drug which where you're the second player and it's 90% still branded. So why is the market share ramp up so slow here, and how should it pan out?
Normally when you launch, people are taking the relevant stock and then they're trying to do it. So our sales is not in accordance to the IQVIA.
Sorry, sir, I missed it. Can you speak a bit louder?
What I'm saying, our sales are not working in according to the ramp-up of IQVIA.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. And sir, just a clarification for Sputnik V. When did you say your supplies would be, you know, picking up a lot more from the Indian manufacturer? Was it September, October, or December? If you can just clarify that.
It's September to November because we have 6 of them and each one of them has a different date. Some can be as early as August, but to be cautiously, we are saying September to November. And we hope to get something from Russia, but it was delayed before, so it may delay again. But we are still in the discussions and it's still very much in the process.
Okay, so just one final, if I may, on Sputnik V. And by the time we come to this time period, you know, a lot of India would have got at least one dose, which means they will take the second dose also of that vaccine. So will there be enough market left in that sense, if you back out the interior India, if you back out the anti-vaxxers, et cetera? So the moment you get, you know, beyond September, October, then does the commercial rationale come down significantly?
It does in the places that got vaccinated first time. I agree with that. It looks like there's still many places, especially in the smaller cities and areas that did not have the same opportunity. Are we still there?
Yeah.
And so in that respect, the opportunity is still there. And we need to take into account that is those antibodies, the longevity is also a question mark. So, for example, the people that got the vaccine in the month of February, March, will may have to get something again after a certain period of time. And when we are ramping up, especially as we're discussing also Sputnik Light, et cetera, we are aiming also for the second wave of vaccination as well. So whether it was going to be with 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, or whatever period of time. Yes, we may, let's expect this delay that happens to Russia may cost us a potential market share in the month of July. I agree with that, but I still believe that it's a very viable opportunity, and it's also very much needed in that respect. Let's say that if we could have the supply today, I would not see any challenge to sell it today.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Amit Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today for the earnings call. In case of any further queries, please reach out to the investor relations team. Thank you.
Thank you and stay safe.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Dr. Reddy's Laboratories, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.